mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
I have a travel dilemma. It is not so serious as the travel dilemma that one couple found themselves in.
Woof. Nope. Nothing's that serious, Jen. Ain't nothing that serious.
So in case you missed it, a couple was on a flight on Qatar Airways, however you pronounce it, when someone on their flight died.
Kicked the bucket.
He just died. And you're on a flight, a long flight. And the crew didn't really know what to do with the person's person, you know, the B-O-D-Y, the unalive person.
Wait. Of all the words that you have said on this show, you're scared to say body?
It just feels icky.
Out of respect to the past.
Some of the things you've said, and that's the one that feels icky. This somehow is the line.
And the couple was upset that they had to endure the remaining part of their flight next to the B-O-D-Y. They were upset because they said...
Wouldn't you be?
It's 4 hours of their flight.
Listen.
Next to a dead person.
Yeah.
4 hours. You have to sit next to a dead person.
Listen, Haley Joel Osment over here. I feel like... there's a little bit of perspective missing for those people, by the way. And this is a side note because I do want to get to my dilemma coming up. But the side note is, you know, yeah, it's bad that you have to sit next to a dead body on a plane. You know who it's worse for?
The dead.
The person that died. Okay?
They're already dead. It's done. It's over.
It's kind of fair.
They're having a worse day than you are having.
They had a worse day. All right?
If you believe it happened, they might be having the best day ever.
Exactly. Depending upon if they're religious, it's a great day. Ends up being a great day for them.
That is a lot of spin you just put on that.
I don't think it was any spin. I think it's just the truth.
They're having a great day. Kick the bucket.
I think to these people's point, like there were other seats that were empty on the plane. So what they should have done is given the dead body its own row. Like, hey, we're in the middle of it. I understand you guys are traveling together. Would you mind sitting separately in a different spot of the plane? It's either that or you sit next to the dead body. And they didn't really get presented that option, which is what should have happened.
I agree.
I think in that spot, I stand up and move. Too bad. Turn the flight around if it's going to be a big deal if I move.
I mean, the challenge is it's not like there's a place to stash a body, guys. You know, you're not putting it down in the cargo area. You're not putting it in one of the... Now, I suppose another solution could have been to put it in a restroom and close that restroom. There are certainly flights I have taken where one of the restrooms is unavailable. It is either broken or there's some issue. Maybe somebody did a little something in there they shouldn't have.
It's unavailable for other reasons.
Take that however you prefer.
So as I understand it, the typical protocol for this airline is to move the passenger up into either first class or the business section where there's a lot more room you can spread out.
The passenger or the passenger?
The passenger. But apparently there was difficulty moving the person and navigating them between the rows due to their size.
Oh, so they were staying put.
They were staying put because I believe they had to go through extraordinary measures to get them off once they were on. So there is usually, because it, not that it happens common, but people passing on flights does happen. Because there is change in pressure, there's stress, all those things.
Have we talked about the anxiety that I get from flying on airplanes and how I have a pretty lengthy flight coming up today? Maybe we could avoid saying that people die on airplanes. Well,
I just thought your anxiety was really more about, you know, the plane operating, not you operating.
Yeah, I think you're of the health where we don't have to really factor that in.
I suppose, but anything can happen.
I mean, have you had a physical recently?
The good news is, standing, right?
I've done physical things recently. Does that count?
The good news is they could definitely move you into a bathroom if they needed to.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah. You know what? Throw her in the overhead. She'll be fine. All right, so I want to get to my dilemma, which I've got this international flight coming up later today, leaving Chicago at 4:45, headed to Italy, by way of Madrid. It's a 9-hour flight from Chicago to Madrid. And then I am flying to Italy. But on the way back, I am leaving Italy, Turin, that's where Special Olympics World Games are taking place. I'm leaving Italy and I'm going through Paris. And my layover in Paris, guys, is 5 hours and 25 minutes. Woof. That's a long time to busy yourself at an airport, even an airport as nice as the Paris airport. So my dilemma is this. Should I leave? Should I land in Paris, leave the airport, go see the Eiffel Tower, you know, bop around, take some pictures, grab a croissant? It's just fun to say.
Never do that again.
Yeah. Leave that one on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. I appreciate that you tried.
Do not order one that way.
Especially the face that you made as you said it. They will not serve you.
And then hustle back to the airport to catch my flight to Chicago. Should I risk this?
My initial question is, have you looked into the legalities of doing this? Because would you need like a visa to leave the airport and then go into the general public? Because you certainly would have to go through customs to leave the airport once you're like in the international wing. But like, is that allowed? I'm not even sure.
Haven't even checked.
Would you be an international criminal if you decided to go take pictures?
Criminal?
Well, yeah, you're like somewhere you're not supposed to be.
Gone to the extreme. You've never done this before where you have a long layover? I think we've done it before like in Amsterdam where we had like a 24-hour layover. And so we went and got a hotel and went around, and I don't think it's illegal. I could be speaking out of turn. I don't think it's breaking any laws. I think the bigger risk is, do you have enough time, to your point, to get through customs, to then grab a Uber?
Uber.
Don't. Please don't.
Uber.
To grab a ride share and then go see a site and then get back and catch your flight. That's what I don't know.
I've got a feeling that you were going to risk this because you are the person who also once booked a flight that the airline would not allow you to book in terms of trying to catch a late in terms of catching the next flight because it was too tight of a window.
That's true.
Now, you successfully pulled that one
booked
off.
Booked it separate. That's right.
Yeah, so booked the two flights separately instead of booking them together.
Caught the plane, train, timed the whole thing, made the flight.
You made that happen. So I've got a feeling that you're going to risk this. However...
Go ahead.
It's a significant more risk than the previous flight because, I mean, if you went to miss the flight, you'd have been, what, in Atlanta? Like, who cares? You're still in the States. If you don't pull this one off and then you have to book another international flight to get home and you're stuck in Paris, that's a completely different story.
Yeah, and theoretically, my luggage gets back to Chicago you know, on time and then I'm just chasing it, chasing the luggage.
This also connects to other stories you've told us where... Your propensity to run out of gas and the undue risk and stress that you like to give yourself. So we already established not a big fan of flying. So now you're adding in the stress of leaving the airport, getting back into customs. Like, what if you go to the security to get into the international wing and the line is like miles long? What happens then?
Maybe I cry.
Do we?
Maybe
think?
Someone will take pity on me, although unlikely. No one ever does.
Again, it's not just one person has to take pity.
Yeah,
one person, and then the person in front of them, and the person in front of them. Like if the line's long enough, 5.5 hours is yes, it is a lot of time, but it's not a lot of time if you want to leave the airport and go back to the airport.
Yeah, I think.
It feels like a lot of time, though. It feels like plenty of time. Like, in 5 hours, I could get to Notre Dame. In 5 hours, I can get to Bloomington. And
Sure.
Yeah, that's if you walked out the door and got in your car.
Yeah.
Just saying, go to the Eiffel Tower doesn't feel that far away. Although, to be fair, I don't know how far the Eiffel Tower is from
What airport are you going to?
Charles de Gaulle.
I will start looking up some of those because like, what if they have one of those nice, some international bigger airports have like those pods basically where it's like a bed and you could just hang out, take a little nap, cruise for 3 hours.
I could go to the lounge. I could go to the airport lounge. I'm flying Delta, so I could hang out there. But I will tell you this, guys, I recently had a 3.5 hour layover. Woof. I mean, you can only have the little crostinis so many times before you're like, get me out of here, mista, lady.
I understand. But again, 5.5 hours, yes, is a long time to sit in one spot. It's not that long of a time to try to get the leave. And then again, getting back through international security. It's not like going to Mitchell, all right, where you're just strolling on through. I have no idea what the lines are going to be like at the Paris airport trying to get back in.
What do you got, Joshy?
There is, it's about 32 kilometers away from the Eiffel Tower. Right now, obviously, we're dealing with time here, but it is about an hour by vehicle, and there's a train every 7 minutes that takes you about 53 minutes to get there.
Ooh, that feels brutal. That's rough. If it's an hour between the airport and the Eiffel Tower, now it feels dicey.
So now you have 4.5 hours just of travel time.
Well, that's one there and back, so 3.5.
Yeah, because it's 2 hours. It's 2 hours round trip.
Jeez.
Let's say you stand in the customs line for an hour. Again, probably generous, but still, it's now we're down to 2.5 hours.
I mean, so hypothetically, you could go there, take a picture, and then jump right back on the thing, and you'll be flying.
It's moving every 7 minutes.
Don't even have the car leave. Don't move. I'll be right back.
Well, again, if you take the train, it's every 7 minutes. You got 7 minutes at the Eiffel Tower.
That's not bad.
How do you feel about international public transportation? Because public transportation can be doozy and confusing. You can get twisted up. Next thing you know, you're going the wrong direction.
100%.
Internationally, I'm even more. Yes. Yeah.
And I've been to France. I speak some Spanish, right? Like, I can get along in Spanish. I speak zero French. I speak less than zero French. Right? Like, and when
Home Alone.
Les Incompetents. Yeah, that's the one I was going to go to. You're what the French call. When we were in France and we tried to communicate with people, one, I don't know the language. Two, they don't really want to help you. They're not real interested in making your life easier, making your travels easier. So, all right, well, listen, we'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. We'll lay it out for you. I've got a 5.5 hour layover in Paris on my way back from Italy, which, by the way, I still got several days to make a decision on this. I come back on the 13th. So
there's no decision. You've already made the decision. You're going
to
do it.
Not when he said it's an hour, a hard hour to get to the Eiffel
you
Tower.
You look at that as even more of a challenge that you want to accomplish.
Darn it, Gabe, you know me way too well, okay?
Yeah, the 2 hour thing made it more likely that you were going to do it. Like, if it was easier to get there, you'd be like, that's just too easy. No, this is a high degree of difficulty that you now in your brain want to pull off.
I've got the Mission Impossible theme song going through my head right now. Dun, 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 dun.
Of course
dun.
You are, because you also love Tom Cruise.
Old T, dang it. Weighing in on the private talk and text line, Mark Tauscher says, that's a crazy idea to leave the airport for 5 hours. Let us know what you think. 800-990-3776. What do you got?
A handy list here. 9 things to do on a layover at Charles de Gaulle Airport. Enjoy a meal. Relax in a lounge. Go shopping. Browse the art.
Oh, they might have.
Might want to cross this one off. Go sightseeing in Paris. You could take a shower. You can play some games. There is an arcade there. Or you can sleep. The area closes at night. Night travels are relocated past the traveler. But there are places for you to take a little nap.
I love that whoever compiled this article thought they were like giving us novel information.
I thought they were going to be a little more specific.
Here's some things you can do if you got a break. You can sleep. You can eat. You can shower. You can shop.
You can play some PS5.
Sweet.
Game of Madden quick.
We'll take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. More right after this.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. I love the team over at Fifth Third Bank here in Milwaukee. Was just hanging out with them last week, hanging out with the guys, Kevin and Aaron and Dennis, and they had a great event, and they take care of not just their own team, but the people that they work with. It is a different team, and you need to give them an opportunity. Experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association Custom Solutions, built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We are absolutely pumped to watch college basketball's best players shine on the court while they chase the ultimate trophy. It is tournament time, and where are you watching all the magic happen? Pottawatomie Sportsbook, of course. Make it your place to catch all the high-flying action with a massive video wall, sports betting kiosks, excellent drink specials, and more. It's a basketball fan's paradise. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We'll get to some of your reaction as the show rolls on for my endeavor, my adventure, potential adventure in Paris in about a week. But I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers' first round pick. There is some twittering that the Green Bay Packers might finally take a first round wide receiver, which would be the first time since Javon Walker was selected back in 2002. I don't think so, Gabe. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, to your point, they will address wide receiver in free agency, and they will backfill in later rounds in the draft. But I think they think there are more pressing issues where they can get a guy who can contribute on the other side of the ball, and I think they go cornerback or defensive line with that first pick instead of wide receiver. So everybody hoping that they take a wide receiver in the first round, I think, should just keep on waiting.
I think when you take a look at, especially the history of the Packers, the way they've been successful, again, not Goody necessarily, but you can find some pretty high-end talent at that wide receiver position in rounds other than the first. It's tougher to find, I think, edge rushers outside of the first round. When you start taking a look at the guys who lead the league year in and year out, we're talking top-of-the-line guys. Typically, those are going to be first-round picks. Like the guys we're talking about in terms of, you know, the best pass rushers in the game, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, those guys were first-round talents. And you need that athleticism in order to rush the passer. Again, as we've seen, Lucas Van Ness has that athleticism. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a great pass rusher. But you need to have that element first before you become a great pass rusher, and it's tough to find it outside of the first round. So if somebody happens to fall to them, yeah, I think edge rusher is going to be that, or maybe cornerback if they can't add to it. In free agency, those I think are probably bigger needs in Goody's mind in the draft than wide receiver.
There is a guy, Joshy, and I'll defer to you on this since you are our draft dork. I told you it was going to stick. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're not. Not even really a little bit.
No, I'm not actually. The
self-diagnosed.
Yeah, exactly. Can't take offense to it. You said it. The kid from Arizona is a wide receiver that I think would be good for the Green Bay Packers. But again, I still think they feel that their needs are more pressing on the other side of the ball, and they can get more impactful talent there. Whereas we have seen wide receivers they've taken in later rounds who have had a significant impact on that room and on the offense. What do you think?
I don't think it's necessarily a 0% chance the Packers draft a wide receiver. The interesting thing that happened is some of the guys we expected to be in the top half of the draft kind of saw a little decline in their draft stock because of the performances they did put on. Now, McMillan from Arizona is the guy who has been rumored there because he did see a stock fall. But if the Packers believe he's a much higher talent than he's being given credit for, based on his blend of size and speed, there is a chance he could go there. I think we shouldn't look too far past corner, defensive line, wherever it is. And I wouldn't even rule out offensive line.
Neither would I.
Just because there are shifting pieces there. And I think they are high in Jordan Morgan, and I think he's going to be a starter, and I think they're pretty excited about that potential. But they want depth, and they want guys to play multiple positions. They want to move around Elgton Jenkins probably at that center spot if they don't find a hole there. So it's the premium positions are where the Packers always
go. And let's not forget, again, because the draft isn't just for 2025.
Right.
It's for beyond that. And three of their five starters are going to be free agents at the end of 2025. Because three of those guys were drafted a handful of years ago. So you've got right tackle with Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, and then Sean Ryan. So three of your five starting offensive linemen are going to be free agents. I doubt they re-sign all three. So you're going to have to backfill there as well for 2026. So offensive line, probably very high on the list.
But if we want to talk about where they've had success, and we talked about wide receivers finding gems in the later rounds, I feel like they have done that with offensive line pretty regularly, haven't they, Joshy?
Yeah. I mean, the Packers are very good at drafting
linemen.
Offensive line just sort of across the board. But there is opportunity in this draft with the kid from Michigan. He got extremely short arms that takes him off some people's boards. But if we remember, Brian Bulaga,
I was about to say, wasn't that Brian Bulaga's
problem? We'll scream from the rooftops how much that doesn't actually matter. I do think also, like, when it comes to Rashid Walker, I think you're happy with him. But I don't think he's going to box anyone out of a guy who the Packers deem as top 15 in the draft who would fall to 23.
It feels like they've actively tried to replace Rashid Walker just about every year he's been the starter. Now, they've been unable to do so.
Yep.
But they have been actively trying to find somebody better at that position.
Why did I think like Jordan Morgan was somebody that they also talked about had quote-unquote short arms headed into the draft cycle?
I don't remember that specifically. He was supposed to be more pro ready than he was, but I think like scouts around the league are high on him. It's not just the Packers kind of sniffing their own, you know what, and saying we got our guy. He has a high reputation amongst the people in the
league. That made you uncomfortable?
What do you mean sniffing their own?
Your own farts. You're happy with your own product.
Sorry, I wasn't following.
You didn't. Wait, you've never heard that one before?
No, what is it? You're sniffing your own farts?
Yeah.
And it means you like your own
product.
Your own brand.
Yeah.
So you're saying
everybody likes their own brand.
Were sniffing their own farts?
Yeah. Telling it smells good.
You could argue LVN continuing to see snaps would be the Packers.
That would be the ultimate example. Yes. That would be the ultimate example.
Oh, I'm learning so much here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Jahdae Barron is a name I am seeing a lot connected to the Packers. He's the cornerback out of Texas. What do they like about him, Joshy?
Size and speed and ability to play multiple positions as a cornerback. He was actually listed as like a safety, but in terms of him, he mostly played out of the slot and as a safety, which we know the Packers have kind of shored that up with the three safeties they took last year that can all sort of play multiple positions. The real question is, does he last that long? Because I think he ends up going higher than that. And do the Packers believe he can be an outside corner? Because that's really where they're trying to improve and get better.
Is the boundary corner. That's what they have to replace with Jair Alexander, trying to find somebody who's actually a cornerback one that you can trust to be in those situations.
Between Bullard, Williams, and Keyshawn Nixon, I think they feel pretty good about slot and safety in that sort of area.
I think we have done a good job, and this is not, what was the phrase?
Smelling your own farts.
Smelling your own farts. I think we have done a good job on this program over the last few years. Remember, I said that I thought that Christian Watson was a guy that Brian Gutekunst would like. I even think last year we had talked about Cooper as somebody that we thought would be great for this team that we hope they went out and got, and they obviously did. This year, I'd like for us to nail it down. Doesn't have to be today, but I would like for us as a show to nail down who we think, again, what they need, the type of player they typically go after, where we think they will be in the draft board. Of course, anything can change on draft night. Guys fall, guys get plucked earlier and whatnot. But I do think we should nail down somebody. I'm leaning cornerback right now, but I still haven't really done a deep dive into the defensive line where we know. And it could depend wholly on what they do in free agency. If they still go out there and try to make a splash move in free agency, that changes the direction I think they might go in the first round, Gabe.
Yeah. If they go out and get a DJ Reed, if they decide that, oh, we want Byron Murphy, then corner's not as big of a need. Now, I still think they would draft one, you know, just to have continued depth at that position. But maybe it's not, okay, we have to have an impact player from day one at that position. If they sign a corner, I think that offensive line and edge or defensive line becomes much more likely in the first round.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Go ahead.
It's going to be even more difficult because pro days have become more and more important with less people competing in it. And Justice Mosqueda does it every single year where he kind of does the Packers threshold draft picks. And every year, usually 80% of those guys will end up being Packers draft picks because they stay pretty close to it. They do venture out, like Hopper was one name that didn't make sense. But pretty much every other guy you see comes from the size things that the Packers require, the speed things, and sort of the age. So it's probably going to be a while before we can get that nailed down as those pro days keep happening. But once, like, we're within the month range of, we just said it's 50 days away, where we're going to have a pretty good idea of the guys that the Packers will be even considering as options.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. What position do you think they will go after? Again, acknowledging there is more information to come. We have the data points thus far that is going to motivate our decision, motivate your judgment right now. There may be things that change this. We're not holding you to it 50 days from now going, oh, remember, 30% of people thought they were going to go this direction and they ended up going this direction. It's just right now, what do you think the Packers will do with that pick?
Should we just save time and start looking at Georgia defenders?
Sure. Isn't there a Georgia defender that people are saying could fall to the Packers, Joshy? I saw a guy, I'm going to have to look it up.
Michael Williams is a name I've seen before as an edge rusher that you know could be available there.
Jalen Walker is the name of the player that I saw.
I'm unfamiliar with Jalen Walker's
body of work, resume.
Yeah, the thing is that the Georgia guys aren't as good as their defense continues to be. Like, they aren't. The prospects aren't like they've been in the past, which is sort of interesting. Like, this is a relatively, and people say it every year, relatively weak draft, where it seems like there's 10 guys everyone's convinced of, and then it's, does your GM view this guy as someone who should be in that top tier that's worth taking in the first round or not, is kind of what we're deciding between here. But there was enough guys that had impressive combines that I think that list grew more than people expected.
We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. We'll be right back after this.
Make plans. Stop by Bunzel's this week and pick up these fresh homemade specials. Corned beef brisket flats, just $12.99 a pound. Reuben and Irish banger sausages, $6.99 a pound. Again, you want to get ready for St. Paddy's Day. That is the way to do it. You can also get smokehouse seasoned bone-in chicken breasts, $4.89 a pound. California garlic marinated jumbo chicken drumsticks, $2.79 a pound. If you're stopping at Bunzel's, swing by the deli, grab some lunch or dinner. They have plenty of amazing options. Always typically something I do is make sure I grab a sandwich from the deli before I head home. Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. You can find all their weekly specials and more on their website, bunzels.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kinda like a, oof, like just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
In case you missed it yesterday, the Green Bay Packers announced, well, I'm not sure if they announced, at least Adam Schefter announced, that the Packers were able to come to a deal with kicker Brandon McManus.
Thank God.
And for people out there who are going, what is the big deal? Why are people reacting this way to the Packers locking up a kicker? Well, it feels like a really long time since the Packers had a reliable guy at kicker, you know, save last year, of course. Mason Crosby, right? Like, there wasn't anybody between Mason Crosby and Brandon McManus where you were like, wow, this guy's really good. I feel confident trotting him out there in a do or die, game on the line situation and knowing that it's going to go our way.
So we had Anders, who was drafted. He was bad enough. They brought in Greg Joseph as competition. Neither of them was deemed good enough to win said competition. And they brought in Brandon Narveson, who obviously was not very
Braden.
Good.
Braden. Respect the man.
Okay, I'm sorry. Braden Narveson, the Narv dog.
Gabe's like, he didn't even earn it. He didn't even earn the right to have me know his name.
Yeah, it started with the B's. Close enough. All right, he should be happy.
And Gabe's like, and if he had given us a B performance, we would have been fine with it.
Yeah, he would have been still been fine.
To an F. Sorry, I got all kinds of great jokes over here.
So we've got, I mean, again, Brandon McManus, he's the solution to all your issues. Because when he goes out there, and I understand he missed a kick in the playoff game, it was pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But he's not going to be perfect. He's not going to make every kick. Not every kicker does. But you feel confident when he goes out there. And that's all you can ask for when you have a kicker. And they had one. You don't let that guy walk out the door with all the other struggles that you had had going back to Mason Crosby leaving. So Brandon McManus, huge thing to check off the list for Brian Gutekunst.
And that's the thing, guys. What it allows the Packers to do is move it off of the to-do list to the done pile and focus on other things. You didn't want this hanging. You didn't want it lingering. And to your point, Gabe, you didn't think it was going to. You thought that the Packers had some leverage with the franchise tag, that they could have used that and said, you know what? we're not going to let this linger. We're going to nail this down. And if you don't want that, let's play ball.
The old adage is the deadline spur action. And I know that Andrew Brandt loves to tweet that out anytime a deal is done. Well, the deadline yesterday was 3 p.m. Central Time. That's when players had to be tagged by. So I don't think it's a coincidence that hours before that is when this was released by Adam Schefter. It seems like that was the deadline of, all right, hey, man, we can work this out now, or we can just tag you and just not worry about it and figure it out later. I'm glad the Packers got this job, this deal done, because if this would have lingered till Monday when that legal tampering window opens, I would have not had high confidence that Brandon McManus would have returned as a Packer, because I mean, every team is looking for a reliable kicker, and this is somebody who had signed a big-time deal last year with Washington before the other issue, off-the-field issues, came up with him and the flight over when he was a member of the Jags. So that's been behind him. You lock him up. You don't worry about it.
McManus turns 34 in July, according to Jason Wilde's article on channel3000.com. Remember, that's where you can read all of Jason Wilde's great stuff now. He reveals that the younger players call him uncle and dad. Did you know that? Did you know that the younger players on the Green Bay Packers team called McManus uncle and dad? Although my guess is it's unk from some of those guys.
I mean, how can't you? I mean, you think about this, like, I think Eric Wilson was the only other person over 30 after they got rid of Preston Smith. So it's not like he was even close to 30, 34. Like, he's in his mid-30s at that point. He's a full decade, if not more, older than most of the players on the roster. Makes sense.
Does it give you any confidence, though, that because he's 34 and maybe you'll be able to just dismiss it away as a specialist, that maybe Goody will change his tune on the youth experience, that maybe the experience that McManus brings to the table as opposed to some of the younger guys that they had in there is the difference between him being a competent, confident, consistent kicker and somebody who was working his way through getting used to experiencing a learning curve? Like, to me, I understand you could sit there and go, yeah, but he's a specialist. Yeah, but he's a kicker. But I do think that the lesson there is experience matters, Gabe.
That's nice. Everything you said sounded good. It sounded great. It was a great argument. It is not going to fly with Goody.
I think if he learned anything, trying to go youth at a specialist is increasingly risky as opposed to
totally
some
agree.
Other positions.
But I also think that there is some validity to it being risky at all positions, especially when you go youth
across
the board. I watched last season. I watched the season before.
I agree. I don't think Brian Gutekunst does.
I wouldn't be surprised if post McManus, he just enters into the which kickers are available, who has established history. Let's just play it that way.
Yeah.
And if some guy is young and you think he has a good chance, maybe you give him a competition when it's like low risk. But I think the drafting kickers and specialists is pretty much done. You can kiss that goodbye.
LL Cool Whip on the YouTube stream weighing in saying, real missed opportunity here for a McDaddy nickname. I agree. I agree. Calling him uncle and dad is cool, but when you're McManus, McDaddy is a good one.
I will never, and I mean ever, call another grown man any form of daddy. Not going to happen. Throw a Mick in front of it doesn't make it better. It's not going to happen. Never going to call another grown-ass man dad.
That's a very good point by you, actually. I really didn't think it through. Saw the tweet. Ah, oh, that's a good point. I really like the nickname, but you know me in nicknames.
Yeah, you flock to the bad ones.
Complicated relationship.
What would a McDaddy burger or sandwich be? Because that's what I think of when I think of Mick in front of anything. I immediately go to the McDonald's and the McChicken and those types of the McRib.
McRib.
A McDaddy. What would a McDaddy have on it? Bacon?
Bacon feels required.
Bacon has to be on
there. It feels like a lot of meat.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, this is a burger that you're throwing pastrami on or something like that, like on top of it. You know what I mean? Like
maybe a little pulled pork even?
A little pulled pork, a little pastrami, a little bacon. We got four meats going on there. That feels like a daddy burger.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we throwing an egg on top? Too much.
Yeah,
too much.
I feel like we're getting crazy.
Pull back.
McDaddy likes to keep it pretty. Like, there might be no sauce. It might be a straight up meat and cheese burger.
I don't even think I could pull through McDonald's and go, "Could I have the McDaddy, please?" don't think I could do that. That
brings up. You've said it now on the show a few times, so maybe you're working your way up.
A great point, Gabe. With a lot of restaurants you go to, especially some that are trying to be modern and hip, they have just asinine names for the items. Oftentimes, when it is something I feel embarrassed to say aloud, I'll just point. If they give a number, I will give the number. But if it's like a lot of times it's like sex adjacent for some reason. And at these restaurants, it's like, no, I'm not saying that aloud.
What restaurants are you going to, Joshy? Well,
there's a place that is Egg Blank that has quite interesting names on it.
Egg?
Yeah, you can't say the last.
Yeah.
And I'm actually looking forward to going to that place when I'm in Vegas next week.
Yeah. And
it is my favorite place
to
go.
The menu items, ridiculous.
I'm going to look it up. I don't know what it is. Can I look it up on a work computer?
Yeah, I mean, you can. It's a restaurant. You just can't say, the second word of the name of the restaurant on the radio.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like a challenge to me. We'll take a break, get to some of your reaction. We had a lot rolling in today regarding the, well, now there's a lot of McDaddy reaction rolling in on the old talk and text line. Also, my adventure in Paris. Should I try to go see the Eiffel Tower during my 5.5-hour layover? We'll get to your reaction right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
The general consensus I am seeing on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. About me trying to go see the Eiffel Tower during a 5.5-hour layover in Paris on the 13th of March when I'm returning from the Special Olympics World Games is, that's crazy town. Someone even wrote in saying, you are advised to have at least an 8-hour layover in Paris, Chris in the 414.
Oh.
If you are going to leave the airport to go sightsee. It says they suggest at least an 8-hour layover.
Again, don't tell Jen this information. It's only going to make it more likely that she tries this.
Chef Ed says no risk it, no biscuit.
See, Chef Ed gets it.
Ron in the Key says, I think they're saying you're scared, Jen, which I know is a taunt, is a
temptation. As of right now, you're scheduled to do the show on the 14th, correct?
Correct.
So should we just plan for you not to be here then?
No, again, I haven't made a decision on this.
No, yeah, sure you haven't.
let's see. Billy says, I don't think you can pull this off. Jacob in the 414 says, but you must see the Eiffel Tower. So I think he's saying you got to make it happen. Matthew in the 414 is saying, just make sure you clean out your Mary Poppins bag before you go through TSA. Also good advice. Thank you, loyal listener, Matthew in the 414.
Poor TSA agent pulling a wet diaper out of your bag as you go through.
Stevie in the 414 says, why is that girl talking about farts? That's what my first grade daughter just said. I wasn't talking about farts. Joshy brought up the farts. I had never heard the phrase before, so I had to have him explain it to me. Meanwhile, now people are talking.
Also, I mean, but you then got dragged into the fart conversation, so ipso facto.
Yeah, it was like quicksand, though. Like, I was like wrestling, but they tell you got to stay still. That's the only way you can
get
out of the quicksand.
McDaddy. Cheesy squeezy.
Oh, thank you, cheesy squeezy.
Not a compliment.
Yeah. Thought if you heard the McDaddy part first that you'd hear the rest of it, but apparently not.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. Liverwurst is something that Stevie suggests should be on the McDaddy. Ugh. Liverwurst in general. Do people still eat liverwurst?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Like where?
I think it's a generational thing. I think
all right,
it's...
Well. And theoretically, those folks
I bet Chewy has some praise to sing about liverwurst.
No chance. Well, although he does like borscht. So
he's going to have praises to sing about it, even though he hasn't had it in probably 25 years.
And he doesn't like
years.
It particularly.
Yeah.
It's just the nostalgia factor.
Mm-hmm.
LL Cool Whip says, if you're making a McDaddy, you got to put an aging leg of lamb because he's a kicker. Talking about McManus. All right. Well, that was an adventure. I'm off to Italy. Good luck with everything, Gabe. Yeah,
thank you. Safe travels.
Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee.
Northbound on 43, very heavy over the high-rise bridge through the Marquette up to Keefe. We do still have a